tell you, I love it waking up in the morning right now and it being in the 30s. I am not looking forward to the 80s the next couple of days, but in the extended forecast, we do have a few days where it's not going to get out of the 50s, and I'm going to be running around in shorts and a t-shirt, and I'm going to be happy. I'm actually not. I do get cold. I just like it when it's cold. So, but it is good to see everybody here tonight. We do have a very small group tonight. So let us open up in prayer, and then we'll start our Bible study time, and then we will have our prayer time at the end. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for this time that we get to come together as a church family to really dig into your word and to learn more about what you tell us in scriptures, dear Lord. Help us to understand what Daniel is telling us. And dear Lord, I love the history part of it. And right now, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the history part of it, but we're going to get into dreams and interpretations here in the next little bit. But dear Lord, I just ask you to just reveal yourself to us through what we read and what we study. And bless us tonight. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Okay, well, tonight we're going to pick up in verse 3 of chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 3 through 8. Okay. And I have to tell you, I've been so excited about getting into Daniel and this stuff. I've already got next week's notes done. And we're going to finish chapter 1 next week. So, but we're going to look at verses 3 and 4 first. And this section where we're getting into, it's the indoctrination system. Babylon's system of indoctrination. And I want you to look at what they're doing and I want you to think about what's happening in our school systems and things now. Okay? So just look at this in verses 3 and 4. It says, "Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials," I believe the King James Version says chief eunuch or something like that. And remember that word, that Hebrew word for eunuch, it can refer to the actual physical eunuch, but more often than not, it refers to the official or the servant in the king's household, or the king's officials. So to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligent in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. Okay, now look at what he's doing. We already talked about last week how when Nebuchadnezzar defeated Judah, that he took away the best of everything. He took, what did we say last week? That he brought to the land of Shinar, to the house of the treasury of God. I can't remember how many people we were told that he brought away, but it was in the thousands of young men and royal family that he took with him back to Babylon. And so here he's telling his chief official, out of that big group of people that we brought back, I want you to select the best of the best of these young men. And we're talking about kids that were probably between the ages of 13 and 17 that were taken away from their families, taken away and taken to a foreign country. And they are now going to be placed in a school where they will be taught the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. In doing this, Nebuchadnezzar showed that he was a very wise leader, that he was not treating these young men as defeated enemies. He was incorporating them into their culture, and he was training them in their ways and in their thoughts, and basically removing the Hebrewism out of there, out of them. Okay? If you do not think this happens in our own country right now, I hate to break it to you, it does. When my son, my youngest son, turned 12, on his birthday, we ceased to have access to his medical records. When we could not get in to see his appointments, Ginger called and was told that we could not have any access to his medical records unless we had his permission. Ginger's response to that, well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. How is he going to get there without me taking him? How is he going to pay for it without me paying for it? But you're telling me I have to take him, I have to make the appointment, I have to take him, and I have to pay for it, but I have no access to what's being done and talked about? That is happening in our country. They can have things done. They are being taught things in schools. And please understand, when I tell you this, Christian private schools are not immune. I went to a Christian school from 7th grade to 12th grade. I never experienced marijuana or anything like that while I was in public school. I did at the Christian school. Kids were getting in trouble with drugs in the Christian school. So understand, they're not immune. But society is indoctrinating our children. Everywhere you turn, there is a prostate cancer drug commercial that I have seen, I don't know how many times. I could probably quote the thing, I've seen it so many times. But as part of that drug, it's this man talking about loving photography, but then it shows a homosexual couple that he takes a picture for, and they're seen walking hand in hand and everything like that. It's a drug commercial for prostate cancer. We are being indoctrinated, just like Nebuchadnezzar did with these people. And they're smart. Who did he go after the old people? Who did he pull aside to teach and train? The young people, the teenagers. See, my dad sort of thought it was funny because there was one day after I got teenagers, I called him and I said, I am so sorry. He said, for what? I said, I am sorry for thinking you were the stupidest person on the face of the earth. He said, "Do you still think that?" And I said, "No." I said, "You're probably the smartest man I've ever met in my life." I said, "But I have officially became the stupidest person on the face of the world in my kid's sight." So automatically teenagers think that their parents don't know anything, that we're dumb. If you've not experienced it yet, hang on, because you will. Don't you? Isn't that so great? I get down. You got something to look forward to. You're dealing with it now. We've all been there that have raised kids. There is hope, because there does come a day. And it's talking to my daughter that's married and expecting, and it's talking to her and having a totally different type of conversation with her now than I was able to have when she was a teenager. And she even tells me, she says, "I understand why you did things then, like you did. I didn't like it then, but I understand why. And I'm thankful that you did do this." But they're going after teens, and that's what society's doing. They're going after our children, and we need to be aware of that. I shared something with Dan this week. I think was that Monday I sent that to you, or yesterday, Dan? Okay, my days run together. It basically said that the ones that stand against us, our enemies, have to answer to Jesus Christ. And we have to understand that when they're standing against us, it's not personal. It's spiritual. And we are in a spiritual battle for our children, and we have to understand that. Okay? And that's what we're getting ready to see here. It's not a personal battle. It really is a spiritual battle. No, that's fine. Yeah. Okay, so look down at verses 5 through 7. It says, in Babylon, or it's here 5 through 7, it says, "The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego." So look at this. The king appointed from them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank. Now you could look at that. And I always thought as a child, I'm like, well, I'm picturing the king's rations, the king's meat and drink and everything, that it's going to be like going to a 5-star restaurant and you get a big old thick porterhouse steak and a big glass of sweet tea and a big baked potato that's completely loaded with all that good stuff and some asparagus on the side that's smothered in butter and garlic and just some really good food. I'm like, what's the big deal? Well, what we have to understand is this was not just about food. And we'll get more into it next week, but this was about obeying God's law. Now think about this. Why was Judah handed over to Nebuchadnezzar in the first place? Do what? Disobedience. They had walked away once again from God's law, from following God's word, from keeping their end of the bargain. You know, the promise that God made was, "I will be your God and you will be my people." Well, they ceased being his people, so he had to get their attention. And like many of us, We cry out to God when something happens, and then God takes care of it, and we're like praising God and following God. Then we slowly start taking things back, and we want to do it our way again. Well, God had to get their attention again. So basically what was going on in Judah, the king was not even placed there by God. He was not anointed by God. He was placed there by the Pharaoh of Egypt. And so even the king was not honoring God. The people were not honoring God. They were not obeying God. So we are seeing something here that reminds me of a promise that God made. God says that He will always, and He had to remind Elijah of this, I have saved for myself a remnant. Now, it's important to understand that while this is a big group of teenagers, a big group of young men that are pulled in there, and out of this big group of young men, four of them, He points four of them out. And this fact that this food that they were being offered was unlike any other type of food they had ever seen before. It was not common everyday food. The rest of the ones, these are the best of the best. The rest of these, they weren't getting offered this type of food. So understand that. So we get introduced to these four young men. Now look, I want to point out this. Daniel, the name Daniel, means God is my judge. And when it was changed to Belshazzar, or Belteshazzar, it means Bel's prince. Bel was one of their gods. The name Hananiah mean beloved by the Lord. It was changed to Shadrach, and it means illuminated by the sun god. The name Mishael means who is as God, was changed to Meshach, which means who is like Shaq, which some believe was a Babylonian goddess corresponding to Ishtar or Venus. And then the name Azariah means the Lord is my help, was changed to Abednego, meaning servant of Nego, which was another Babylonian god. So basically, again, remember I told the reason they were doing this was to distance these young people and put them and indoctrinating them with not only the literature and the knowledge, but also the religion and everything else of Babylon. And so not only were they taking these names away from them that had deep meaning to who they were. Remember, that Hebrew, it was a lot like with Native American names. They were named something personal, something that was set there. So we know, like, you know, Isaac was named Isaac. What does Isaac mean? Laughter. Why? Because that's how Sarah responded when God told her that she was going to have a child as an old lady. She laughed. A lot of names have meanings, just like in our Native American culture where they name people like, you know, running deer or something like that. You know, they could see maybe when the mother was pregnant or getting ready to have the child, that she'd see a deer running or something, and she would name that child after that. But here, these Hebrew young men were named for a purpose. All of them had their names related to something about God, about the Lord, and they were then changed, and all their names became affiliated with a Babylonian God. Exactly. That's what indoctrination is. Yeah, that's what they were doing. And notice it says that they were supposed to be there for 3 years going through this training. And 3 years. See, Nebuchadnezzar was smart. Hebrews, then the Jews in Jesus' time, dealing with Rome, they had a reputation. They were known as very stubborn and stiff-necked people. Not only to the people around them, but also to God, because God's always has called them stubborn and stiff-necked before. So Nebuchadnezzar knows this, that they are stubborn and they don't like being told what to do. So the best way to get past that is get these young men and make them part of them. Literally killing all part of the Hebrew culture out of them, including their religion, so they would be and think as a Babylonian. That's what they were doing. And he was going to teach them for 3 years. They were going to be completely immersed in Babylonian culture for 3 years. Look at down here at the bottom of this page. It says, that's what it says. Calvin wrote that Nebuchadnezzar knew that the Jews were a stiff-necked and obstinate people, and that he used the sumptuous food to soften up the captives. Okay. Satan uses similar strategy against the believers today, wanting to indoctrinate us into the world system. Satan wants us to identify the name, identify us in reference to the world, feed us what the world offers, and educate us in the ways of the world. I mean, he does. That is how we have got upside down in the fact that the church does not influence society anymore, but society is very heavily influencing the church. We have got things upside down and backwards because we've allowed that to happen. Okay, now look at verse 8, this Daniel's decision to be faithful. And this is what's still so amazing. We're talking about a 13 to 17-year-old. It doesn't say that the other three came, but Daniel did. It says, but Daniel made up, in verse 8, Daniel made up his mind. Or I think King James Version says that he set his heart. Okay. Made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with wine which he drank, so he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now, there's a couple of things that we have to realize here is that we're like, well, how can they be defiling themselves by just eating food? Well, there's some things that we have to understand, that out of all of these young men that were taken, and all of the young men that were brought in, the best of the best, Daniel was one of them. And he says, I don't want to defile myself. Well, how could he defile himself? Well, I can guarantee you something. I can guarantee you that this food was not prepared to the dietary laws. In other words, it was not kosher. Okay? So Daniel is one of the remnant that God has saved for himself. He obeyed the law. He followed the law of Moses. And on top of that, it was a very high likelihood that this meat and wine had been offered in sacrifice to a pagan god before it was consumed. Paul deals with that with the New Testament. That was a big deal for the Jewish Christians, eating food that had been offered to idols. And Daniel wasn't going to do that. So that's how he was looking at it as, okay, I'm either going to obey God and not eat anything, or I'm going to reject God and eat all this great food. You know, Paul tells us as a Christian that we can eat this meat and stuff that has been offered to foreign idols. But he also tells us that if it causes a brother to stumble, not to do it. Okay? But here, Daniel, and notice, there's no mention of those other three here, is it? Is there? So I'm wondering, I can't put this as a scriptural fact, but I'm wondering if Daniel may have been a little bit older and he had influence over these other three and he was training and teaching them what it meant to follow God. What do we call that in today's society? Discipleship. That's what that is discipleship. Taking someone alongside of you and pouring into their lives. So I'm wondering if that's type of thing, or if these four guys, they've known each other their whole life. I don't know. There's no scriptural that says that they know each other. But yeah, because, you know, we get on later, and in the story of the fiery furnace, Daniel's not mentioned. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are there. So here, Daniel's the spokesperson, but we know that those other three are involved, and we'll find that out in the next verses as we go into next week. But they've already named them. Daniel shows these four. But he says, but here's the thing that I want, another thing that I want to show you this. Daniel was definitely not wanting to defile himself. And there's verses from Isaiah, Zephaniah, and Malachi here that look at these. It says, "For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken falsehoods, and your tongue mutters wickedness." And then Zephaniah is in 3:1, it says, "Woe to her who is rebellious and defiled the tyrannical city." And then Malachi 1:7, "You are presenting defiled food upon my altar, but you say, how have we defiled you? And that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised." So this is literally that last one out of Malachi. That's what Daniel was saying. I'm not going to do, because he understands that our bodies are the temple of God. So, but I want you to look at this. Daniel did not get He didn't get hysterical about this. He didn't go off his chain over this. He handled it in a very respectful manner. What does it say? He sought permission. He went to who he needed to go to, and he spoke directly to them and asked permission. it was a big deal. Daniel did make a big deal about it, but he did it in the proper way. When we are asked to do something that goes against God's standard, we do not have to make a scene to take a stand. Now, if they turn it into a scene when we take a stand, that's out of our hands. But we don't need to get obstinate. We don't have to be disrespectful. We don't have to be rude about it. There may come a time for that, but there is not. I mean, even when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow, you know, they just didn't bow. And it was sort of funny because of how they responded to the king when the king was irate and he was showing himself and he's like, I told you to do this. And he said, oh, king, we don't have to give you an answer about this because either way, we're going to win and you're going to lose. So do to us what you will. You know, that's basically what they told him. So, but that he would not defile himself. He sought permission. It is a big deal. It is a very big deal what Daniel was doing to reject what is being offered to you by the king could carry a very heavy punishment. And Nebuchadnezzar was a bit of a hothead. Look at how it describes him in Jeremiah chapter 39, verses 6 and 7. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes at Riblah. The king of Babylon also slew all the nobles of Judah. He then blinded Zedekiah's eyes and bound him in fetters of bronze to bring him to Babylon. He killed the man's family in front of him, and then he blinded him after he killed his family in front of him. And then Jeremiah 29, 22, because of them, a curse will be used by all the exiles from Judah who are in Babylon, saying, may the Lord make you like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. So it wasn't just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that he wanted to toast. Here is the last thing I want to share with you. And it's the same thing that I shared with youth when I was working with them. What the world and Satan are going to show us is the most luscious, most fun, most beautiful, and most attractive things that he can. To distract us from those hooks and those traps that are waiting inside. We're not going to see those because we're distracted about how good things look and how much more fun those look than the things of God. One of the greatest things I heard, one of the greatest lessons that I heard on Andy Griffith, the Andy Griffith Show, this hobo played by Buddy Ebsen was trying to tell Andy, won't you let the boy decide what he wants to do? He says, I can't do that. He says, right now he's looking at the lifestyle that you're wanting, that you're living and thinking it's great. It's just like a fish looks at one of those lures that you've got there. And he's all excited about the flashiness and the funness. He's not paying attention to that hook just like one of the fish. And until he's able to notice those hooks, it's my job as his daddy to keep him away from the hooks. until he's able to see those for his own. We have...
I was just going to say, you know, the church shouldn't be influenced by the culture. And that's what was happening. They were having to learn culture, but they weren't being influenced away from their faith by the culture.
Yeah, that's true. Did you guys hear what Dan said? That the church, in this case, they were having to learn the Babylonian culture, but they weren't being changed or persuaded by the culture. Well, how do we do that? Just like Daniel did. Set our heart, make up our mind that we're going to stay true to God's commands and not give in to culture, not give in to the way the wind changes. And if you guys just watch, I mean, it's going back and forth all the time, and it changes every day what's popular and what's not and what's right and what's wrong, and it's all going round and round and round. The only thing that's staying true is God's Word. It never changes. It's always the same. So just think about that as we are continuing. I'm excited about next week because we actually get to go through the rest of the chapter 1 next week. So verse 9 through 21. And it really good. Really good. So any questions about these verses that we covered tonight? Okay. Doug, would you mind dismissing us from our Bible study time, please?
Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for this story and this life, Daniel. It's an example for all of us. Lord, help us to be aware of things around us and always know that you are the one who's the guide and who's the one we should follow. May God direct us in all things that we can do with us as we go from this place. These things are great.
Amen. Okay.